Hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. This is a ministry that is devoted to preaching the gospel, well, the entire Word of God, I should say, in a verse-by-verse format. This ministry is made possible by the funds that we, my wife and I, earn by washing your car. That's what the Wash and Word is. It's a hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we own and operate this business for the sole purpose of getting these verse-by-verse Bible messages into your ears and into your heart. We believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to equip the saints of God for all this world would throw at them. And we do it this way so that we are unable to leave out the things that so many churches are leaving out today for fear of losing people. And we think it's kind of a tragedy that so many pastors and elder congregations are avoiding certain sections of Scripture for the sole reason of not wanting to upset the congregation, of not wanting to chase people out of the doors for fear of preaching about hell and damnation and judgment and persecution, all the things that don't sound and feel wonderful. Listen, Jesus didn't come to make your Christian walk feel good. In fact, we are supposed to go come under fire. We are supposed to be offensive to the world with our message. And I could spend through the rest of this message talking about that, but that's just the underlying foundation and vision of this ministry. It's to get all of God's word into your ears. And by doing that, or the way we do that, is to do it in a verse-by-verse format. And again, we are a self-sufficient ministry. Your support can be given by simply coming by, allowing us to take care and wash your car. But all right, so getting back to where we left off, we're in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, and we have taken this and we've read the whole thing already. It's 26 verses. And the last two messages we preached on chapter 17 really lead up to the final exposition of this chapter, which is today. But I can't rehash everything, so I encourage you to go back. You can go to washandword.com and download and listen to the last two messages. I strongly encourage you to do that. We read the entire chapter. We've already looked into some of the things, and we're continuing now. And we left off talking about how Jesus has given this incredible authority to us to continue what the first century believers, the disciples, were given as well. And that is to guard and keep the gospel. And notice the main concern of Jesus's prayer is for the rest of the believers and the unity. And that's what we talked about in our last message, is how we are all one with each other and with Christ and with God because of the Holy Spirit. The formula we put together makes us all one body, and we are in direct one unison with God through the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was. It's kind of like, you ever, maybe if like finding that perfect hidden fishing hole that maybe nobody knows about. You know, you found this thing in the woods somewhere and you tell a few close friends about it, and then somehow word gets out and then people start flocking there, and then there's pollution, it gets overfished, and there's people partying at the fishing hole. What happened? I mean, what happened to this best kept secret that you just told a few close friends? Well, most of them that went out there, they just wanted to go out there and fish, but then some people began using that fishing hole for their own purposes. And this is what Jesus is praying against. Notice the main concern of Jesus's prayer here is for the rest of the believers. Looking again at verse 21, let's read that. It says that all of them may be one. He's praying that we all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus goes on, he says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me, and that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. So we see there the main concern of Jesus is to let is to get us. It's already happened. The unity has already happened. We are already one. His concern in this prayer is that we would know it. And friends, if we could just grasp the concept and the reality and the awesome responsibility of what it means to be one with Christ and thus one with God, man, that would change our outlook on how we spread the gospel. Unity, to be one. The main concern of Jesus for believers was, is, and always will be unity. Getting together at that fishing hole for the sole purpose of being a responsible fisherman, as it were, in our metaphor. Listen, the few friends, the apostles, were given pure gold, pure, untainted, precious metal, if as it were. It was an uncorrupted and unpolluted, just like the fishing hole you found. When Jesus gave it to them, it was pure and uncorrupted and unpolluted, the perfect fishing hole. But over time, it has been infiltrated by the enemy. Listen, if you think the enemy hates Sunday mornings, you are dead wrong. The enemy loves Sunday mornings. The enemy walks up and down the aisles of our churches everywhere, interjecting small, tiny lies. And he does it because he knows that like yeast, they will spread and destroy the truth. I remember in my days of being an electrician, we used to collect our scrap copper as we went along wiring homes. And as it built up to several buckets, we'd go cash it in and we would get pretty good, a few hundred bucks probably for it. But over the course of 5 or 6 years of doing this, I started noticing that the copper that I was turning in wasn't so bright red and orange anymore, but it was sort of dull and started having a darker color. What had happened? Well, over the years of everybody cashing in this pure copper, other metals had gotten put in, you know, have slowly entered into the copper refinery, as it were. And what happened was this precious pure copper started getting infused with other metals. You know, maybe it was a plug or an outlet or some switches or some metal boxes that got caught up with the copper. And over time, the copper still worked. It still carried the electricity, but it was tainted with other metals. And that's a great metaphor to what has happened with the pure word of God that Jesus gave to his disciples over the last 2,000 years. It has been getting tainted with false teachers and teachers that aren't even false per se, but there are pastors and preachers and teachers out there who are watering down the gospel, who are fearful of giving all of the word of God because they think, well, Leviticus is too boring for my congregation. Exodus is too wrathful for my congregation to hear. Numbers and First Chronicles are just too repetitious. How do you even preach Proverbs? And don't even get me started on Revelation. I don't even understand it. How can I preach it to my congregation? All of that is the corruption and the melding of the world in with the pure gospel that these disciples received. A once pure thing that was precious, once given to the general public, has a tendency to become diluted, polluted, and disputed. Listen, there are no modern-day apostles. They received the pure word. They received the pure gospel. They were the foundation of the gospel of grace. Revelation 21:14 says, the wall of the city, listen, had the 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The gospel of grace, the foundation of this message, started it and ended with them. Acts 1:26 says they cast lots and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So there we have the 12, making up, of course, for Judas. But getting back to the meat of the prayer that Jesus is preaching, once the pure, unhindered, uncompromised word was given over to the world, it then became subject to pollution, dilution, and to be refuted and disputed, to be corrupted and disrupted. We cannot have the gospel being watered down like that, or it's going to eventually lose its ability to do what it was originally designed to do. If only the church throughout this age of grace always presented Jesus and the Word of God just as the apostles did, maybe Christianity, not Muslim, would be the fastest growing faith or religion in the world. The compromise and the watering down and the downright desecration of the gospel of grace, all in the name of making it more palatable to the hearers, has done more damage than good. Ezekiel 3, 1 through 3 says, "And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll that I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. And so I ate it and it tasted sweet as honey in my mouth." Listen, in the Old Testament, the Word of God was sweet because it was pure from the throne of God. And it was complete in its pronouncement. A few regulations, a few laws obeyed, a few sacrifices, and the atoning of their sin was done. It was granted, but on a temporary level. But in the New Testament, grace is better, but it has cost the life of Jesus. And even though Jesus paid that sacrifice, the cost of the New Testament grace is the responsibility of the Christian to carry the Word of God, the pure Word of God, to a dark and dying world. But the problem is keeping it pure and not carrying it into the world, but we have to present it in the same way it was given to us. The same product represented by two different people can get two very different results. So listen to this now. Revelation 10:9. "So when I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll, he said to me, 'Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it was sweet as honey.' Then I took the scroll from the angel's hand, I ate it. It tasted sweet as honey in my mouth, but then when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour." So it's the same command that was given back in the Old Testament to Ezekiel, but now John is taking it and it turned his stomach sour. The problem with the modern day church and modern day Christianity, the modern day preacher, is that we have delivered truckloads of honey for your mouth. But the life of a disciple, of a follower, of a saved by grace believer is anything but honey. Now, yes, granted, there are times of honey. There are times of peace. But we are called out to proclaim a Jesus that is bringing a salvation that will cost you something. And we are to proclaim that fearlessly. I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is on your side? Do you feel it? Do you know it? The provision to live the Christian life is not in the things that you receive, but rather in the faith that you exude. Everything you need is not what God gives you, but in that which you give out or exude. And all the scriptures and the miracles in the world aren't going to do anything if you don't believe them. It is faith in the Word of God that activates the power of the Word of God. You must believe what Scripture says. You must step out on faith, especially in the hard times, that God will not leave you or forsake you. Do you feel forsaken today? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe that He forever lives to intercede for you? Do you believe that He will supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches? Do you believe that He works all things out for the good of those who love Him? Do you believe it? Let me show you that faith, not ability or intellect or muscle or money or pedigree or good looks, but let me show you that faith alone is what you need to live in this life. That's what Jesus is saying. And He says, "I don't leave you alone. I leave you with the Holy Spirit." Remember when He said to His disciples, "Do not take along with you any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for your journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." Jesus sent them out with nothing, and He sends us out with the same thing, except we are armed with everything. The Holy Spirit gives us every word to speak and every power to speak it. So friends, go forward knowing that the provision and the protection of God is behind you. Let us not shy away from the gospel that offends. It is an offensive gospel to a world that is attacking the Word of God. So stand firm. God is looking for warriors, and I'm begging that you become one. I hope these messages help. Have a blessed day.